Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and the national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is Tuesday, October 8th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, I welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our newly redesigned website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in today on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this short break.
Do you provide a heat source for your backyard chickens in the winter? In most cases, it's not necessary. But if you choose to provide a heat source for your backyard chickens, it's imperative to use a safe and effective heat source, and the only one I recommend is the Sweeter Heater. The Sweeter Heater is a safe, completely sealed, washable, non-breakable, energy-efficient, long-lasting, and reliable specific area heater that comes with a 3-year warranty. Ditch the dangerous heat lamp this season and invest in the only heater I recommend, the Sweeter Heater. Purchase the Sweeter Heater online at sweeterheater.com. That's sweeterheater.com. Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com. McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice
continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Boy, we had a great show yesterday. It was another great Monday show with Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply, was here. And we had a great topic and a great discussion. Tons of very, very good shared information from Peter. So if you missed that show, you can listen to the archive at blogtalkradio.com, iTunes.com, Zoom.com, and podcast.com. I want to send a special shout-out in the chat room today. It looks like Andreas is joining us again from Norway. And he is a longtime regular listener, and he tunes in from across the pond and listens to us avidly over there. Yes, you heard that right, from Norway. So it's so good to see you. Hope you are doing well, and hope all your chicks are hatching just perfectly over there in Norway. I know you've shared some pictures with us in the chat room before of your setup and the chicks and the hatch and incubators and the whole nine yards. So that is awesome. So glad to have you back in the chat room. And while I'm sending shout outs, let's go ahead and send them out to all the homeschoolers out there that listen to the show every day and incorporate this show in their daily curriculum. Thank you very much. And the over-the-road truck drivers that haul that freight all over the country that we need so dearly. Keep the rubber on the road. And thanks for tuning in on the archives, my friends. And, of course, everybody in the live chat room, everybody that's listening live, and the thousands of you who listen to the archive, thank you very much. And last but not least, all the feed and seed stores all across this great land that stream this radio show live every day, Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you very much, retail stores, for streaming this live. Pardon me. Okay, if I'm reading a little slow or if you see some slowness, even though that little bit there wasn't slow, my glasses broke. Now, if you remember, a while back, maybe about 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I was down at the dock fishing with my boy, and I don't know, something happened. It fell out of my pocket. They hit the dock, and one of the lenses flew into the water. Okay, bye-bye. No problem. So I go to Wally World and look for me some of the, what do you call them, just the reading lenses or whatever, just, you know, $3, $4, $5, and that's about it. Just all it is those magnifying glass shaped like eyeglasses, I guess. And so I found some that really weren't great, but they did the trick when I was reading the computer, reading the book, you know, newspaper menu, something like that. And oh my goodness. And well, yesterday I got into the golf cart, and I guess I leaned forward to pull the light switch on. It was after dark, and sure enough, which they never are, they were in my overalls pocket right in the center, that little chest pocket, and I lean and pressed up against the steering wheel, and wham, there they go, bend and break, and the lenses come out. So if I have to read things a little bit slower today or get caught up on something, that is why. I really need to just make an appointment up here. We're on the road, so I guess any, you know, 6-12, half dozen the other, these Four Eyes Place or Just for Eyes or Lens Crafters or whatever, just run in there and get an exam in about 15 minutes and get my glasses 2 days later or something for $49 for two pairs, something like that. So I got to get that done because these cheap ones at Walmart I got, I've had two pair, and they just don't do the trick. Maybe for a menu or something. I'm sure a lot of folks out there can relate. I want to say hello to Judy Councilman. Thank you very much. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. Possibly, you know, we have a lot of long-time listeners that occasionally can get in the chat room, so I don't know if Judy is a first-time listener. If you are, thank you very much for tuning in. Hope you enjoy what you do here today. We do have a good show today. We are welcoming, well, formerly the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, and now I think it's just the Livestock Breeds Conservancy. I think they've dropped the American part off, and because they do work globally, but we've got some folks coming on from ALBC to be here, and they're going to tell us about the name change, what was involved with that name change, why they did the name change, and I've got a question for them that I have that may throw them off guard, but no worries there. Yes, as far as I know, I am live, Andreas, so let's get another sound check. In the chat room. So sound check in the chat room. Uh-oh. Okay, yeah, okay. So Christmas Chick is not saying yes in agreement. She doesn't have sound. She's saying it, yes. Good sound here. Okay, very good. I'm still working on updating our sound. You know, when I'm on the road or when I'm in the studio, I've got some really jam-up nice equipment for good quality sound, but it just not working up here at this particular campground. You know, we're on the road, and we've been up here for about 2.25 months, and we're going to be up here until about the first week of November. Then we're heading up to Nashville for a big event, which hopefully will get planned up in Nashville with Tractor Supply. I'll keep you up to date on that coming up maybe the 9th. We're looking at Saturday, the 9th of November. I think what we've done is collectively, because of short notice, we've decided, I think, not to do a big, long, week-long five-stop tour and getting the radio show on the road and doing the workshops. I think what they want to do up there at Tractor Supply is do one big event. They're looking at renting a facility, maybe not having it in a TSC store, but renting maybe the local ag center or something like that, and really promoting the heck out of the deal. And then they're looking at hiring somebody or a crew to come in and videotape it. So they were talking about there'd be a video camera on my laptop and, you know, three or four others with different angles. They want to record this and then take bits of it, put it on their website for my two-hour workshop. So I will keep you all abreast of that situation. I'm not sure how it's going to go. We're still waiting. It may be a little... we may wait till next year. It's just end of the year, and everybody's crunching to get things done, including big Tractor Supply. So right now we're shooting for Saturday, November 9th. If it doesn't happen then, it won't happen till next year. So I'll keep you regarding that situation. But it should be a good one, big event coming up in Nashville. And when I talked to them this week, they have a really cool idea. I can't share it with you right now. It'll be a nationwide event. It's going to be really, really cool. The nationwide event will take place in one day. That's all I'm saying. Because, you know, we got to make it's a big event. We got to see if we can have it, you know, get it done. But it's going to be fun, fun, fun nationwide wherever you're at. I will be at one of the TSC stores when this event happens on tour this spring. Actually, probably late spring. But it's going to be a nationwide event, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm just looking forward to that. So we got some fun ideas coming up for 2014 with the Tractor Supply. So, yeah, if you missed yesterday's show with Peter Brown the Chicken Doctor, great topic. You'll need to, if you would, listen to the archive when you got that. But, yeah, American Livestock Breeds Conservancy is coming on today. Hey, tomorrow we've got another great episode of The Quail Lady. Yep, all about quail with The Quail Lady, Alexandra Douglas. She is going to be joining us tomorrow. If you're raising quail, thinking about raising quail, then she is the one to talk to listen to. She's got two books out, one on incubation and one on the Cretornix quail. I always destroy that when I pronounce it. But she'll be joining us tomorrow. So this will be, I believe, her third, maybe her fourth show with us. And she comes on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month, and that'll be coming up tomorrow. All about quail with the Quail Lady. And then this Thursday, we've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, coming on at All About Our Homesteading. He's our homesteading expert, and he'll be talking all about food storage, food storage preparedness. And so that'll be coming up this Thursday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So we hope you can tune in then. I got about 2 minutes before 4:15 when I bring on the ALBC, but I do want to share this one thing, Chickens in the News. I'll be posting it on our Facebook page. We would love for you to join us, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. And let me get over here to it. And I'll be posting it after the show. It's actually still in my email, so let me go find it. Okay, here we go. This comes to us from BuzzFeed.com. It's not really a scientific article, but someone just ran across it and said, oh, this is interesting, for BuzzFeed.com. Rose-colored glasses on chickens reduce fighting. And really, the headline is, How Rose-Colored Glasses Stopped Chicken Murder. That's BuzzFeed for you. How Rose-Colored Glasses Stopped Chicken Murder. And then the ad from back in 1935, there was an ad. Here is a chicken fitted with rose-colored glasses, which reduce fighting in the flock. There was murder going on in a New Jersey penitentiary yard. The prison chickens were killing each other. One after another, the young white leghorns would fight amongst themselves to the death. Nothing was effective in preventing the quarrels until the warden tried putting rose-colored glasses on the birds. That stopped the fighting instantly. The leghorns, the only fighters in the poultry lot, now are all equipped with aluminum-framed spectacles with centerpieces extending out in front of their bill/beak. So very interesting there. And to give you an idea of what that's all about, it's just an old ad from the 30s. Someone saw it and said, hey, we got to post this. Chickens, as you know, are, say, naturally cannibalistic. Rose-colored glasses would neutralize the color of blood and prevent injured chickens from getting pecked to death by other chickens. So as you know, if a chicken ever gets injured, they start getting pecked on, they get an injury, and there's blood there, and there's a scab there, they're attracted to that red color, and the other chickens will go and investigate, not necessarily wanting to be mean to that one specific chicken. I don't like to go and be mean, but they see the red color, they hone in on that, and they start pecking at it to see what it is. It gets their attention and attention and attention. They start pecking, and then it starts bleeding more, and then it starts more pecking, and everybody else comes over to see what's going on, and they start pecking, and that's how it ends up and resulting in a lot of times death. So back in the 30s, maybe even before then, they came out with some little aluminum-framed red glasses, and which made everything look red tinted, and so they didn't hone in on that particular injured spot that was red because everything was red. It didn't pop to them. Here's this red blood on a white bird, and you're like, let me go investigate. Start pecking on it. Now everything has a red tint to it. There's we've come a long way since then, and there are still things like these quote-unquote rose-colored glasses for chickens if you have a pecking problem, and they're now called pinless peepers, and it's not necessarily anything they can see through. It's just a small, solid piece of red plastic. They come in different colors, but most of the ones I've seen are red, and they just attach onto the nostrils of the beak, clip on there, so it's not invasive whatsoever. You can take them and put them on, remove them whenever. And you'll put those on the chickens or the roosters, the hens, which are causing the pecking problem. And they can still see predators. They can still look down to eat. They can still see side to side, but they can't focus in on one particular spot to peck at while they're looking straight ahead or zooming into an injury. So nowadays they're called pinless peepers, probably about a quarter to 50 cents a piece. But the farmer way back then had a good idea, and it seemed to work, and look what we have now, pinless peepers. But way back then, they were rose-colored glasses. Yep, and so I'll post the ad on Facebook later, Judy, after the show, and you can see they look like tiny little 1930s reading glasses, round frames with a little piece of red glass in them. And very, very interesting. But now there's pinless peepers, and they're about a quarter a piece and a lot less. Like pinless peepers here at Christmas Chick. So, but I saw that today, Chickens in the News. I thought that would be fun to share with everybody. And, yes, I will post it on the Facebook page just a little bit later. So very, very cool. And I already gave you the show schedule for the rest of the week this week. And I'm trying to think of anything else going on. Hey, did you see that big, nice bass? Me and my boy caught two nights ago. It was great. I knew a front was coming through. A little front was coming through. I said, front's coming through, Caleb. We need to go fishing, buddy. We went third cast. Nice, probably 2.5-pound largemouth, bucketmouth bass. And got pictures of it posted on Facebook. I always love to do that. Love spending time with my boy. And we love fishing together. So that is one thing that, not to be grim before I bring on the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, but y'all heard me say this before. A preacher once told me, not in church, just in simple conversation, a preacher once told me that he's, in 25 years of being a minister, pastor, whatever you want to call it, he had never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. It was always, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have took that big vacation. I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. I wish I would have spent. So, that at home, we travel together as a family. We spend pretty much 24/7 together, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But, in fact, in 12 years of marriage, me and Jen just celebrated. I don't think I announced this on the radio show. But me and Jen, on September 29th, just about a week ago, we celebrated our 12-year anniversary. And in 12 years of being married, we've never spent one night apart, ever. I've turned down business trips because she wouldn't be able to have come with me. That's how much it means to us. Okay, you might think it's corny, but it means something to us. But that's one thing I work on is I don't – there'll probably be things I regret. There'll be things that say, I wish I would have done this or could have done this, but I'm trying my best, so I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. Never has to come out of my mouth, so it's just one of those things. All righty, let's get over here to the phone lines to – Well, it was the ALBC at one time. I think Ryan's on the line with us. Ryan, is this you?
I'm here.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, not bad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Long time no chat. And last month I was feeling a little under the weather, but so we didn't have you on your regular monthly time slot, but we're glad you could come on today. And it's been about 3 or 4 months now since the big name change. Folks know you as have known you coming on the show for a couple of years now, 3 years, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. And you have changed the name, and y'all have always been a global, you know, company, I know, but that may be one of the reasons. So I wanted to have you on. We were going to do this last month to kind of tell all of our listeners, all your fans, all the members regarding the name change, how it came about, what went involved in getting the name change. And then I know that it is October, and next month you've got the annual conference coming up. They're kind of in Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina, so I know you want to tell us a little bit about that. But I will start the ball rolling. Oh, before I do that, again, people still remember, you have been called Ryan the Hayman in the chat room. So, from that long time.
It's an honor.
What's that?
I said it's an honor to be the Hayman.
Yeah, the Hayman or the Hay Whisperer. So perfect.
Yeah.
So, but I will get the ball rolling. And my question is this, and it may have had a little bit to do with it, probably not on the big scheme of things and the top 10 reasons, but I think maybe one of the reasons was that, to be honest, ALBC.org was not available. It's, house of worship or a church or something like that. And so having the ALBC-USA.org, it just doesn't flow off the tongue real easy and things. I knew that was an issue that you were working with, being there, kind of being the PR dude for ALBC. So that may have been maybe 11 out of the top 10 reasons, but we want to know about the kind of the history of the name change. When did you start talking about it? What was the top 5 reasons for the change? What is the new name now? And if there's a new website,
sure.
Is the other one forwarded? You know, all that good stuff.
Sure. Well, the new name is the Livestock Conservancy. So we kept part of the old name, kind of retained some of that brand equity that we had built up over the last 36 years. The number one, by far the top reason why we changed the name was because the old name was so cumbersome. The American Livestock Breeds Conservancy doesn't roll off the tongue for anyone. And then like you mentioned too, our website, we launched our website initially back in 1998, and Abundant Life Baptist Church beat us to ALBC.org. So ALBC-USA.org wasn't easy either for marketing purposes. And so now it's just livestockconservancy.org. We were going to do livestock.org, but they wanted several thousand dollars for that domain, and we settled for paying $9.99 and got livestockconservancy.org.
Domain purchase, I have to premium domain, $7,900, or you can bid on this
right.
In the current bid, it's $25,000.
That's actually about what it was. So the length of the name. We also got to the point where with the old name, because it was so long, most of the time, at least in conversation and within articles and places that we were seeing our name show up, it would show up as the acronym ALBC, which if you know us, and if you've known us for a long time and are familiar with us, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it's kind of like other organizations like the AQHA or FFA, people know who they are. But for people who don't know about us or didn't know about us, ALBC didn't really mean anything. So our thoughts behind it were, if we shorten the name to make it short enough where you can use it easily in conversation or in articles or writing, in publications, we could start using the name rather than an acronym to kind of help brand us. So
yeah.
technically our new acronym is TLC. we're probably going to not use TLC very much, if at all, at least initially, just so that we can, you know, get our actual name out there more.
Right. I understand. Like I said, let me tell you, I can kind of relate to that because this has been, again, my full-time job coming up on 5 years, and so chickenwhisperer.com was not available. I never knew who had it, so the chickenwhisperer.net was the next best thing, and all my emails were set up on that, the whole nine yards, and then people started saying, you know, for sure, even type in the chat room or online, or, you know, even though they come up to see me, and they'd say, hey, CW, and so CW kind of became that short kind of thing, like TLC for you guys, but just CW, so, you know, it was weird. Somebody contacted me probably about 2 years ago and said, hey, we've got chickenwhisperer.com available if you want it. I'm thinking scam, whatever, you know. But it wasn't. It was just, I guess, some company that scoops all these names up that had expired. And I got it very – they sent me a price, and I counter-offered lowball, and they took it. But it was legit. I own it now. And but here's the issue. For a long time, and that my email, personal or business email, was chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.com. And it just got forever. I mean, whoever I was going to talk, typing it out even for myself or anybody else was just ridiculous. So after about 2 years, I said, okay, we need to update the website. And so now we've updated that to just CW@chickenwhisperer.com. And instead of .net and whatnot. So I'm right there with you. It's the, for me, CW, a lot of times, instead of saying the chicken wing, even I meet somebody on the road or something, hey, CW, and or they'll type it in because it's a lot shorter than typing that out. So livestock, the Livestock Conservancy, and it's livestockconservancy.org now, and or you know, maybe TLC if we're all in a business meeting and it comes up, but I get trying to get the new name out there. Did it have anything to do with, I mean, I know y'all already do, I think, global work and taking the word American out. Did y'all ever have any, did it ever come up about, oh, well, they're just America, not, or North America, or just, you know, American continent, Central America, whatever?
That's a good question. I can tell you right now, we don't, the reason behind the name change had nothing to do with any global aspirations. We are, you know, still, we always have been, and we are still an American organization. You know, and our mission, you know, centers around the breeds historically used in American agriculture. At the same time, multiple breeds, actually over half of our breeds, weren't developed in America. They were imported from mainly Europe, a lot from England. We've got a few from Spain, you know, that have come over, you know, brought over some of them really early on by colonists and some of the conquistadors and early settlers. And then we've got some that, you know, came in the 19th and 20th century, early 20th century too. So we've got a lot of breeds that we work with that, that was a little confusing for some people, saying the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, whenever we're working with breeds that were created in England or somewhere else. So that, you know, I guess that dropping American from the name sort of helps in that way. But that's one thing that we thought long and hard over when changing the name is ideally, you know, we would have liked to have kept American in the name, but you know, if we kept American in the name and just dropped breeds, that doesn't do much for shortening the name. And we created a list of probably 100 different options and went through with our board over and over, you know, and all these different combinations. And the Livestock Conservancy just seemed to get the point across the best, you know, and the most being concise but still descriptive enough so people know what we do.
Did on that top 100 list, I would love to see some of those names. How about animalhelpers.org? I mean, for some of them, I know you're trying to be serious with the business and all, getting these names, trying to find one that would pop and be good. But did anybody there in the office come up with, you know, when they were sitting there going, oh, this is so frustrating, just jot down some funny ones that are on the top of your head like
that?
Like, you know.
Yeah, we We did. I don't have the list in front of me, but we tried to keep it really open and you know, let our creative juices flow if we could. And we had like Breed Savers was one, but you know, that sounds almost just like Seed Savers
and
you know, we had something like Heritage Breeds Incorporated, which just sounded like a huge business, you know.
That wouldn't
be us. I don't know if you've ever seen our German equivalent, the German conservation group that does similar work to us. Their name is, it's something like the Society for the Protection of Endangered and something or other breeds of Germany and Europe or something like that. It's like 15 words long. anything from just like heritage breeds, you know, or rare breeds, you know, kind of going, we looked at a lot of different combinations, but like I said, you know, the Livestock Conservancy still sounds like, you know, if you hear it and you know of the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, they still sound similar. And a lot of other international organizations and other countries use the same non-geographic type of name. Like the Rare Breed Survival Trust is the UK equivalent to us, you know, and that doesn't say anything about geographically where they're located. So, we're looking at maybe a tagline to go along with the name. We've asked our members to submit ideas for the taglines, and we're going through those, trying to come up with something that may sort of answer a few more of those questions in kind of the top-level marketing stuff, like, you know, maybe including the word breeds in it, or the word American, or, you know, our founding date, 1977, you know, something like that. Uh-huh. So that's what we're looking into right now.
That's cool. So far, I guess most, I've seen a few things online about it on these crazy forums or blogs or something. You know, everybody has their own idea why, you know, they're changing it or whatnot, but overall,
right,
has it been pretty good? Pretty good acceptance from members and others?
It has. You know, honestly, when I first came to work here, that was one of my first questions is, you know, the name is really long. you know, it took me almost 6 months to get it down where I could easily remember it. And I know our, you know, new members have that problem too. You know, we talk daily on the phone to people or had talked to people who would, you know, get the acronym wrong, like the ALC or the ABC, or you know, couldn't remember it, or the American Breeds of Livestock Conservation Organization, you know, they couldn't really get it down. So just hearing that for years, you know, sort of culminated in the decision to do it. I think, honestly, it was something that most of us in the organization had in the back of our minds, but we were all sort of afraid of what everyone else would think, so nobody brought it up. You know, and some of our really longtime members who have been with us from the beginning, we thought they would be the most against it because it's been around for so long, but in fact, they were some of the strongest supporters of it. You know, Dr. Sponenberg, our technical advisor, we all, you know, he's like the big guru expert for the organization, and I was really afraid whenever we mentioned it to him, and his response surprisingly was like, oh yeah, well I never cared for the old name as much anyway, I think it's a great decision.
Everybody's afraid to mention it. Oh gosh, we talk about, you know, opening up a can of worms or whatever the case may be, and I figured you were going to tell us that he said, well, it's about time y'all figured out to do that, you know, something like that.
Yeah, and we actually, you know, we started out in 77 as the American Minor Breeds Conservancy. At that time, the word minor breeds was a more common term referring to rare breeds. And then in 1993, whenever we did the last rebranding of the organization, they decided to rename it because the word minor had those kind of negative connotations, you know, unimportant or, you know, not important as some of the other breeds. So we wanted to get away from that. But at the time, I guess nobody just thought to reevaluate the entire name. They just changed Miner to Livestock, which, you know, it worked for 20 years. But it's good, you know, every now and then to do a little bit of a refresh. And I think this name is going to be able to stand up, you know, to the test of time. It's a name that really we shouldn't run across too many issues with for the foreseeable future, you know, at least as long as I'm alive, probably.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, now y'all get the fun part of, you know, possibly designing a new logo, ordering new business cards, new letterhead.
Right, yeah. We just ordered new brochures. So if people see us out at events or, you know, if we send out brochures to our members or anything, they'll see our new name start showing up. We are using up our old envelopes and you know, some of the business cards and some of the other you know, things like that. We're going to use those up so that they don't go to waste. In anticipation of the name change, we went through our brochures and a lot of our envelopes and just didn't reorder, you know, waiting for the name change to happen. So we're in pretty good shape as far as supplies go.
And there's always Whiteout.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not that kind of organization. We're
just get that Whiteout. Just, okay, you know, we're just going to scratch this out here, scratch that out there and there, and then we got that new envelope. So. No problem.
We're a nonprofit, but we're not unprofessional.
Right.
So.
I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That aggravates me, too, because when I'm back at home and have access to a decent printer, we print all our, when our invoices go out every month and everything's printed. And then it does. It's a pet peeve of mine when I'm on the road. We've been looking at a smaller printer. Not one of these triple scan and poppy and all that kind of junk, just a small little, you know, one option just print to here having the RV when we're on the road. So, because otherwise I'm sitting down there with a big ballpoint pen typing out the envelope. You're right. So if some professional, then I'll go and find a place to print take the jump drive over to Kinko's or something. But printing envelopes there was just a bear. So it's just like us. We're looking at that. You're right. It makes a big difference in observation and professionalism, 100%. So that's cool. So other than, mission statement, goals, all of that, I mean, from once you walk inside the door, all that stays the same. Mm-hmm. We're just looking at a new sign above the door, new letterhead, new website, but everything else, kind of goals and good works that y'all do are staying the same.
Right, definitely. Our mission is not changing at all. Our mission, I know we always say it, but if nobody's heard it, it's the genetic conservation and promotion of endangered breeds of livestock and poultry. So that mm-hmm. is still the same. You know, we're still doing the same work. None of our programs have changed. We did, you know, get a new website recently, which has been launched, and Angelique's going to talk about that more in just a moment. But that kind of was convenient timing as far as the name change goes. But yeah, our work's the same. As far as the logo goes, that is something that has come up while we've been working on this stuff. And our logo is beautiful. It's a piece of artwork, fine art. It was done in, actually a little history on it, it was done in 1993. I've got the original logo in my office. It was actually a pencil drawing that was then painted over. So it literally is, it looks like a painting because it is a painting. And it was just basically scanned in at a high resolution. So anywhere you see it show up, it's a scan of an actual painting, which is pretty neat, you know. But unfortunately, that does cause issues for reproducing things like T-shirts or, you know, getting, we've been trying to get some T-shirts together to order recently, and you just can't use our logo because it's so complex with all the different colors and everything. And a lot of the graphic art, not to get too technical, but a lot of the graphic art these days is called vector art, where it basically you can reproduce it in huge, you can scale it up to giant, I mean, literally billboard size, and it'll still be clear because ours started out as a 2 foot by 6 inch or whatever it was painting. When you scale it up, it gets blurry. So that's caused issues for us for quite a while. So we're considering maybe coming up with a supplemental logo to go along with the nice animal picture that we've got right now. I don't think we'll ever get rid of our current logo completely, just because it's so beautiful and people love it. But we would like to have something else that we can use, you know, to reproduce, you know, in areas similar to some of the organizations that have a supplemental logo. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll introduce myself. So this is Angelique. I'm the operations director here at the Livestock Conservancy. And if there's anybody out there that does vector art that would like to change our beautiful piece of artwork into vector, pro bono, we're looking also to help with the logo redesign, a new logo. I know that there's a lot more that goes into that than just saying, wow, you know, a cow on a page with a circle around it. That was my idea. You know, that there's a new logo. So if anybody out there has some creative bone and would like to help with that, please contact us. It would be great.
Yeah, we're kind of, I guess, a little unique as a nonprofit organization, because by far a lot of our funding goes to our programs, much more than a lot of other nonprofits out there. And so we really, to be honest, you know, we really don't have much of a marketing budget at all, just because we do try to use every dollar we can to spend on our conservation work. But because of that, you know, we don't have piles of money laying around to redesign a logo and things like that. So like Angelique said, if anyone out there, yourself, or if you know of anyone who would like to help us out, feel free to drop us a line and let us know.
We have posted in our chat room a fundraiser item for you guys. It's a T-shirt that says, "My breed is rarer than your breed." Exactly. My breed is rarer than your breed.
People are going to be really happy with that one. So.
I know the whole idea is to not have them rare and to really build them back up, and we get the great work that y'all do with that, with the horses and things. But that was when we were talking about logos and things that popped up in the my breed's lower on the list than your breed, you know, things like that. But we're having fun with it. So, so now we've got that information down pat about the name change, how it came about, and the whole nine yards, and ended up being kind of marketing benefit. We can talk to Angelique kind of about the new website as well. I think that's what she wanted to talk about, correct?
Yes. And actually, it really was a coincidence that the name change and the website sort of launched at the same time. As a matter of fact, originally it wasn't scheduled, so the base work that was done on our website all had American Livestock Breeds Conservancy on it, and we had to go through at the end and convince them that, no, this was our plan all along, and yes, please make that change for free, because we don't want to pay for the name change. And our email addresses may be ALBC for a while longer until we get that worked out.
Uh-huh.
So the website itself, again, it's livestockconservancy.org. And it's definitely recognizable that it's still us and still the Livestock Conservancy, and it's got a few color changes. It's been refreshed and updated, but it definitely has our feel. It's not ultra-modern or ultra-sleek, and we designed it so that it would be more user-friendly, that we've taken a look, and Orion keeps track of all the stats of people who visit our website and where they come from and what they're looking at and how often they're on certain pages. And based on that, we designed a new site to try to be more user-friendly when people go on, that they can find the information that they're looking for. And for the most part, we found that they're looking at the animals, of course. And so some of us, that makes sense, but that's not always obvious. You know, so you want to make sure that when somebody lands on the page, that if they're looking for that, that they can easily find it. And I think Ryan pulled some stats earlier today, and we found that really was the case, that they're spending a lot of time on our conservation priority list, which is directly off the Heritage Breeds links on the home page. So that was good news. But the site, go ahead.
I was going to say, since Ryan's in charge of seeing where most people go on the site, he's probably not going to be too honest that most people who get on the site are wanting to go and look at his mugshot on the website, Ryan. And,
now, that was the number three page most visited.
The number three, Ryan's, they want to go see Ryan's picture. Yeah, that is, he was very, very conservative with that number three. We know Ryan. No, I'm at it right now. It's looking good. It's crisp. You've got
there.
You've got but I'm at the website now, and it looks really good. It's crisp. You've got the rotating banner there, going from the different animals that you do. You have the clicks right across the top of and the drop down menus. So easy to find what you're looking for. You've got the join us. You've got the donate page. The mission statement's right there on the front page. I love that. Again, the first word that came to mind when I went there to look at it was crisp. It just seems very crisp and very organized. And I did learn in a previous business a long time ago that you with websites, and y'all are the experts on it, not me. But you know, I had tried different sites, and the ones that were really just out there and awesome and flash and movie, you know, were just so overwhelming at that point to the majority of Americans, because it was still kind of new, that I found that really the simpler the better in some cases with the website. You know, aggravating waiting for something to load. Yeah, it's high tech and get a movie that tells you about your company, but hey, it, you know, I'm on dial up out in the country, and it's aggravating. So. But the thing I saw here, you know, crisp, and like you said, organized, and I really like it a lot. I think it's awesome. I think it's a big improvement over the other. One thing that, hang on, where is it, that I think when I went here before to get in contact with y'all, and I went over to, I'm trying to find where I had all about you guys. Because normally I would go to the old website and get Jeanette's email because for, you know, too lazy to save it or whatever. And I think I went to the new one, and I couldn't find it. I think I may have found a list of you guys, but it didn't include your contact information. And so that may be something that for whatever reason y'all aren't having on there. Y'all just wanted to call the main number and then get transferred to you guys. But that was one update that I think I saw early on. But it's crisp. It looks great. And congratulations on that. Tell us more about it.
Do you want to go ahead and do
something? Yeah, you know, I can talk a little bit. Just to sort of, I guess, respond to your, you know, trying to find contact info for us and stuff. The reasoning behind that, we do have on the left-hand menu, there's a contact us form that actually emails, and that email can go to any of us. The reason why we didn't keep our email addresses typed out on there, the thought behind that is we have, in the past couple of years, really started getting a lot of spam. And whenever you have your email address typed out and actually on a site, there are bots out there that crawl for email addresses. So they look for things with the at symbol in the middle of them. And we noticed that we just started getting a huge amount of spam. And unfortunately, it makes it a little more difficult, you know, to contact us. But like I said, that contact us does, you know, the email goes straight to us and it comes through. And a lot of times, you know, it's even better that way because they all go into a central place and they can go to the appropriate person, and we don't have to wait around until, you know, somebody else figures out that it's not really their area of expertise. So I think in the long run, it'll probably be better for people, you know, to get information that they're looking for quickly.
And the information they can get, they can get sent to or delivered to the person that is actually who they need to be in contact with, instead of so many times, oh, no, you need to talk to this person, and you're on hold again, or now you're playing email trying to get to the right person. And so you send the one email or the one contact us form, and it's delivered to you or Angelique or whoever, Jeanette, that based on what the information is all about, and they're not playing email tag. Yep, that makes total sense. So tell us, so that's the name change, the website's awesome. It pops, very, very organized, user-friendly. How cool is that? Again, I too love that logo that y'all got. Thanks for telling me the history. That I never knew the history of the logo. And that tells all our listeners about the name change and what's going on with that. As I'm looking at the clock, I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. And then when I come back, I know that y'all want to talk all about the upcoming annual event coming up in November, the annual conference with the Livestock Conservancy up there just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. And so we'll do that when we come back after this short break. So I'll put you guys on hold. Folks, you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisper on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking with the Livestock Conservancy today about their new and most recent name change and their upcoming annual conference coming up in November. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Oh,
All right, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer as we come back with our final segment with the Livestock Conservancy. And if you did notice, I played it on purpose, the USDA APHIS tag there a little bit earlier. Their website is down due to the government shutdown. So a little frustrating. I talked to them earlier, I guess it was this week, and what's today, Tuesday? No, maybe it was late last week, and talking to them about the shutdown, and they said, Healthy Harry, which is their mascot, which has his own little Twitter account, which is Healthy Harry, with the Biosecurity for Birds program at USDA APHIS. They were saying, nope, Healthy Harry, he can't tweet, and the website's down, and so the only way we can still kind of get out is you, Andy, to share the chicken love with the USDA APHIS program. And, you know, and not to make this a political or anything like that, but it's just really, really? So you're eliminating a website. The website's down. I mean, a website, that does it cost them daily money to just have it out there in la-la land for people to come and visit and educate themselves on the importance of keeping their birds healthy and safe and identify disease and how to deal with disease and things like that? No, government shut down. So you know, hey, that part is a little frustrating. With that and how I guess it affects more people than you think, because here I am as the national spokesperson and I'm getting calls saying, oh, by the way, the APHIS site is down and Healthy Harry can't tweet about any updates, and so really it's on you right now. I'm like, oh, really, it's on me? Oh, okay, I see how that works. But so I was like, I found it funny, Healthy Harry, the mascot, can't tweet right now because their government shut down. So I'm sorry, folks, if you've got sick birds out there, what, you know, do I take the official stance? Sucks for you, because the website's down because we're, you know, they don't care about your birds because of they're playing, you know, 8-year-old or fighting up there in Washington, D.C. So that's my two, but I tell you that on purpose. That was my 2 cents worth. And so if you were curious about why USDA APHIS, Biosecurity for Birds program website is down and you don't see any tweets from Healthy Harry, that's why. Gets Healthy Harry, the mascot, is on furlough. So absolutely kind of crazy. So we're talking with the Livestock Conservancy, and we've got Angelique and Ryan on, and they're going to talk to us a little bit about coming up in November, the annual conference, which I attended last year, and it was awesome. I will not be able to come this year because I'm looking at an event in Nashville on the 9th, actually, with Tractor Supply. And but here's my question, because last time y'all were on, I guess 2 months ago, we talked a little bit about the conference, and I had stressed to all of our listeners that if they did not book their room at that guaranteed low rate for those rooms that y'all blocked off for this event, that they too will be saying, like I just said with the USDA, sucks for you, because I fell into that category last year. I procrastinated. I waited until the last minute. And then when I called to get a room at that particular hotel and heard the cost, I was like, no, I'm coming. I have a guaranteed rate of, you know, whatever it was, $89, and I'm a presenter. That got me nothing. So, I will tell you from firsthand experience, folks, if you're thinking about attending, and I would encourage you to do so, it was an awesome event last year. Please do not procrastinate. It will cost you money to procrastinate, especially if you want to stay there at the hotel where the entire event's going to be held with everybody else, and book early. So my question now, Ryan, is are there still rooms available?
Actually, I'll answer that. Yes, there are still rooms available, and the good news is we've actually increased our room block so that we can accommodate everybody who wants to stay there. Just on a side note, and people who are not in the meetings industry probably don't realize this, but most of the hotels these days, when you contract, if the rooms aren't picked up, you're actually responsible for the cost of those nights. So we do, the nonprofit organization, we book them, we do the room block a small amount and hope that they sell out. But we did increase it this year. So the NBC Suites Raleigh-Durham Research Triangle, and there are still rooms available. So do please call. You can visit our website. It's under What We Do National Conference, and then lodging information is right there, and you can go right on and book a room from there.
Right, and I'm telling you firsthand,
telling you firsthand and experience, you need to, even if they got more rooms, do it, because I'm a prime example of procrastinating and then, and having to pay out the wazoo because they get that special rate, because it is an awesome rate for that quality hotel. It's at the, is it the same place?
It is the same place, the Embassy Suites, Raleigh-Durham Research Triangle in Cary, North Carolina,
Embassy Suites, so there you go, getting a good rate. Yeah, getting a good rate at Embassy Suites. You better jump on that, folks, Embassy Suites. So get that special rate. And, no, that's absolutely awesome. And so what
are
we...
You want to register early for the conference to get a good rate as well, because the conference, the early bird rate of $195 goes up after the 18th of October. So there's another deadline for you. So we'll just throw that out there.
And so you got the $195 for the conference, and that's, let's see, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Is it Friday and Saturday? Give me the official dates.
Lowdown. So on Friday, it is the, and I'll introduce it, it is our 2013 national conference. It's called Sowing the Seeds of Conservation, and we have paired up with Seed Savers Exchange for a few of the workshops and a few of the talks on both Friday and Saturday. And the structure of the conference, on Friday we have our pre-conference clinics. Those are individual intensive clinics. They are priced separately on Friday. The actual conference actually kicks off with a banquet on Friday night and then runs Saturday. We have concurrent workshops, and it concludes with a Saturday night dinner as well. You had a question?
I guess the I'm just kind of going through there. The you've got the $195 early bird special for the entire conference, plus the special rate that they can get for the room. And then does that, if I remember correctly, that membership fee does include, does that include a couple of meals, a couple of dinners on, was it Friday and Saturday night or something like that? Or
it does. It includes Friday night dinner, Saturday lunch and breaks, and Saturday night dinner as well. Yes.
Okay. Do y'all have, I know that most every year, but especially last year, y'all had specific folks that kind of catered, and it was, organic, small farm, pasture raised, locally grown. I mean, the whole, oh my gosh, it was absolutely incredible. I remember the chili. I remember the chicken. I think it was pork, and it was just absolutely divine, all set up, pretty much all you can eat, and it was all either organic, locally owned, pasture raised. I mean, what y'all are all about there.
There you go. You remember the food better than we do. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Now, we do put a call out to our members every year. One of the highlights of our conference, and we did a survey a couple of years ago, and the responses did come back and say, absolutely, we want you to feature rare breed meat during the dinners or for the dinners. And so this year, or every year, we put out a call to our members and ask them to donate meat. And I'm about halfway through that process now, but we've got a great response this year. We've got a few meat items already on the menu, and mainly beef, because that's where I started. We've got red pole beef, Dexter beef, piney woods, and then we have one person who has agreed to provide caracal sheep. So that'll be something a little bit different for us this year. And I haven't even sent out emails for chickens and for pigs, for pork, or anything like that, so we may have even more than that. But the chef has been really great at the Embassy Suites. They've been wonderful in trying to source local. The word is out. I think it's a common... it's common for people to look locally for their food, at least in this area, and everybody is more curious about where it comes from. So they've been really great in working with us and finding those sources.
Well, do me a favor. Go ahead and put the Chicken Whisperer down for locally grown and organic rare breed cookies.
Cookies?
I'll provide the rare breed cookies for the conference.
Nice. You can just deliver those to the office. There's no need for those to go to the conference. You just bring those right here. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. So folks, if you're listening and you get to the conference and you're wondering where those rare breed cookies are, you'll know that they didn't make it to the conference because I delivered them to their office. Oh, that's awesome. Who is it top secret now as far as the early Friday
conference classes that they can schedule? Is that open? Can you see those? Can you share about if they do arrive Friday, the classes they can sign up to take? And then maybe, I know last year it was Seed Savers Exchanged, and the lady that founded that, which was an amazing event or speech that she did. Is that something you can share with us, or is that kind of top secret, all that information?
Yeah, I'll let Ryan talk about that. Yeah, we would definitely share it so that we can have people sign up and come to the conference.
Yeah, they're out on the website right now, so, livestockconservancy.org if anybody wants to see it. We've got several clinics, and we do this, we've done this for quite a few years, and it's always has extremely a good turnout, this year we've got, one of the clinics is Low Input Limbo, How Low Can You Go? and it's about pasture and forage management for the current economy, which is it's going to touch on some of the stuff that I talked about in my hay talk a while back, about forages and feeding your animals and the types of steps you need to take to grow good quality forages for your animals. So that one's going to be good. We've got Starting and Growing Agritourism. Agritourism is something that we've seen really start to grow in recent years. You've got ecotourism and you've got, regular tourism, but agritourism, I think possibly because so many people these days are so disconnected from their food source, and from farming. It's kind of a novelty for some people to actually be able to get out onto a farm. So agritourism just for the general public is a great way to bring people back in, and let them see what you're doing hands-on with your chickens or with your cattle or your pigs or whatever you're doing. So we're going to talk about diversifying income and how to educate and expand the customer base for anyone wanting to get into agritourism. And that, that not only livestock, that could apply to people doing, growing crops or, maybe they've got an orchard or, maybe they sell raw honey or something. It could apply, a lot of different ways. Sometimes people do hay rides and there's a lot you can do with agritourism. We've seen some really, really neat ideas out there. So that's going to be another one of the clinics. Another additional clinic we've got is Saving Seeds from Fall Produce. And again, we're going to, we called in Seed Savers and they're going to come in and speak on that. Seed Savers is based out of Decorah, Iowa. I think they've got the largest heirloom seed exchange in the country. I'm pretty sure they're mm-hmm. They pretty much have the same mission as we do, except seeds instead of breeds. So they're going to talk about saving seeds and anything from garden fruits to vegetables and a lot of good info there. It breaks things up a little and kind of helps people get a little bit of kind of a two for one. You get your livestock info like you always have, but as a bonus, you get the seed information this year. And then another clinic, our final clinic we've got is the afternoon clinic is Management Strategies for Sustainable Pasture Pork Production. So we've had a big interest in pasture pork production from a lot of folks, and we've got some good experts talking about that. Got a couple more. Didn't see it on the back of the page. Breed registries and associations. That one's always, especially for people who are registering their animals and they're involved in breed associations, just like with any other type of organization or association or club that people are a part of, they're from time to time, there are disagreements, there are politics involved, there are just questions about how to run an organization, and we've been advising associations and helping people get them started for almost 40 years now. We've got our staff and we bring in experts and do a panel discussion on how to run a breed association or how to start one up. You know, a lot of these breeds, especially with poultry, you know, like, and especially waterfowl and geese, there just aren't clubs for a lot of these breeds, you know. So that's, I know we talked to the cotton patch geese people a while back, and they're thinking about starting a club up possibly in the near future. We'd like to see more poultry clubs. So that's, you know, that's something that if somebody's interested in, that could be a really big, really helpful for someone to come to. And then the final clinic that I should mention is the Wool from Rare Breed Sheep, Added Value for Your Farm, and it's going to talk about development of fiber as a value-added product, you know, how to market that, how to spin it, anything from cleaning it to what you can do with it, what types of wool people are looking for, and the types of markets that you might be able to sell it in. So tons of stuff. I mean, those are just the clinics. On top of that, I mean, we've got like 20 different workshops, or close to 20. I guess, would you like me to go through and read the workshops off? There's a, we've got quite a few.
That'll be fine. Sure. If you name some that you think most people would be interested in, that's fine.
Yeah, we've got, let's see, we've got From Hobby to Vocation, How to Bring Your Passion to Market. So that's going to be kind of marketing focus. The New Agricultural Consumer, talking about kind of new age agriculture and trends in the market recently and what people are looking for. Growing heirloom corn for your livestock. Using the gate to plate story to add value. Raising meat sheep and fun for profit. Heirloom gardening for heritage livestock, steeped in heritage, applying the lessons of other cultures to an integrated, sustainable farm. The fascination of Poitou donkeys, which are beautiful, by the way. If you haven't seen a picture, we've got, I think there's a Poitou up on our Facebook page if you want to take a look at one. What's it all about? And basically that's just going to be about what we do and how we work. Our actual on-the-ground conservation work that we do to save these breeds. Food waste to animal feed, how to use your compost and your scraps and leftovers, you know, the types of things that your animals, like chickens, especially chickens, you know, like to eat, and how to minimize waste there. Linking heritage livestock, heirloom vegetables, and aquaponics for a sustainable future. That's another one. And engineering a comeback for Randall cattle, conserving the Shire horse in America, opportunities and challenges in local and niche meats, and rare breeds on a living history farm. So, you know, we've got something for everyone, I think, on this.
Absolutely.
You know, there are always the workshops that people want to go to, and there are multiple going on at a time, and sometimes it's hard to choose, but occasionally somebody will sit in for part of one and sneak over to another. it's a lot of good information, definitely worth coming if somebody's interested.
And we're taking volunteers.
And, what's that?
I'm sorry, we're taking volunteers. So volunteers get a wonderful discounted rate. It's $100 to attend clinics and workshops. That's for both days. So everything is on our website. We have volunteers, items for our silent auction that we have. We have a poster session, and this year we have some exhibitors. So there should be something for everybody.
Will there be another awesome silent auction on Saturday night?
Yes. There will be, yeah, and it will be, it is Saturday night. I had to think about that for a moment because we tend to move it around. But, and we are accepting donations. Anybody that has a donation for the silent auction, if they get it to me in time or tell me what it is and provide a picture, I'll put it up on our website and have a silent auction items page so that they can get some press and some recognition and a link to their website, and the same with our meat donors. I'm getting ready to build that page out now on our website, so anybody that donates meat. So it's a great way to get involved.
That is absolutely awesome. So very cool. And all this information can be found on your website.
Yes.
Perfect. All righty, that sounds great. Well, anything else y'all want to add before we wrap it up? Great show. We talked about the name change, kind of what went about in that, the thought process, and the new website. We talked about the conference coming up next month, which I definitely encourage anybody and everybody to attend. And anything else you wanted to share?
I think we covered a lot. You know, one thing, I don't remember if we mentioned it last time or not, but one of our new things as far as membership goes is we do have a student membership now. So if anyone has kids out there or anywhere from, you know, kindergarten through college, you know, as long as they're attending school somewhere, we've got a student membership available for only $25. And that really gets students most of the benefits that a basic membership gets. It is an online only, so you get the electronic version of the newsletter and the reader's directory and information that way, but still all the perks of the basic membership. So that's, you know, something, the holidays are coming up, you know, if you're looking for a good gift for kids, or, you know, a good way if you've got somebody who's involved in 4-H or FFA or really just kind of interested in, you know, our newsletter is full of a lot of really good information about the importance of biodiversity in agriculture and livestock conservation, and really why it's so important to do the work that we do. And that's something that we're seeing more and more kids get involved in, you know, either showing rare breeds themselves or, you know, owning backyard chickens with the family and you know, being involved that way. But it's a good educational tool. So if anyone would like to sign their students up, you know, kids or grandkids or students, you know, that info is on our website as well. But I think that's probably, I think we covered everything. Just wanted to throw that one in.
Yep.
No. Perfect. No, lots of information that was shared. Been meaning to get you on for, you know, a couple of months now so we could talk about it and, I'd never been to know kind of what was going on over there. So very cool. Angelique and Ryan, thank you for joining us from the Livestock Conservancy, TLC. And we thank you for coming on, and we look forward to talking with you next month. And I'll get with you, if that first Tuesday of November, if y'all are just going to be absolutely too overwhelmed and swamped with the annual conference coming up, we can skip and then adjourn and then come back in December, the first Tuesday in December, and y'all can tell us all about it and all the things that went on there. So I'll touch base with you before next show, and y'all can make that decision. But nonetheless, we thank you very much for coming on today. Thanks for sharing all the information.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, our pleasure.
All right, great. Take care, everybody. Alrighty, that's going to wrap up another show, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, we want to thank the Livestock Conservancy, and we'll have to have them on again. Maybe they'll come on that first Tuesday, or I guess second Tuesday in November, but if they are super, super swamped getting that awesome annual conference together, we'll understand, and we'll bring them back in December, and they can tell us about how the conference went. So don't forget, tomorrow, we've got All About Quail with the Quail Lady, Alexander Douglas. That's tomorrow. This Thursday, we have Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Backcomb Magazine. He's going to be coming on talking about food storage. He is our sustainable living guru, and he'll be here this Thursday. So until tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless everybody. There we go.